The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I am all for, like, elite running backs, not just regular running backs, but when you get an Ezekiel Elliott, a Todd Gurley, somebody like that that is such a high impact on your offense, they do deserve to get paid. However, Zeke, you got two more years left on your contract, and you got two whole kids right in front of you looking for a contract. You got Dak that's got to be taken care of, and then you got Amari Cooper if they're going to keep him and pay him.
Obviously, we're not getting any real information out of Texans camp, but there's always a scale, right? And so, like, when we always have to make predictions, I think the scale for them is pretty high variance. I think it's anywhere from 5 to 11. And I think for them to win 11 games, Will Fuller actually has to stay on the field for a full season. We know there's a 1% chance of that. They need to keep Kiki QT healthy, which, yeah, I think last year might have been an anomaly for him. We'll find out. The offensive line has to improve, whether it's Matt Khalil finds the old magic that he had before or Howard turns out to be a player. But that has to be better. If all those things happen, then I could see 11. But that's so many question marks.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at XOHolly, at the underscore Jermaine, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also get us via text. You can also get us on the Twitch. And A.J. off today and next week, so Jermaine Every and Holly Seymour filling in. But right now, we are going to go to the Vegas crew. RJ Bell at RJ in Vegas. Do we have Brad and Fezzik as well?
Yes, we do. And I'll tell you this, Fred, a compliment for you.
Uh-oh, for me?
You sounded like a professional radio guy there coming in.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a compliment, man. You know,
No, it is. It is. When it sounds like someone slipped a mic into your living room and it's, you know, not quite centered with your mouth and you're kind of off mic and you're mumbling. I don't know if what radio guy you've ever heard do that. I know you're a contrarian, but that is professional. You hear him bring it in?
Very professional. Love it.
I'm surprised, to be honest, he could do it.
See, that's kind of, that's all I really do is I just sort of bring us out of breaks, set up AJ, he tells a bunch of jokes, and then I take us back into break. That's my job, and I get paid really well for that.
But you usually do it lethargically.
I do not. We're lethargic.
Oh, come on.
Lethargic.
Open up a poll. Do a Twitter poll. Do a Twitter poll and say, let's define it. You should say, am I above average energy for a radio host or below average? And I'm going to predict 87% say below average.
I think you'd be wrong about that, but that's okay.
But you won't.
Because
you won't
especially,
do it.
But especially, no, I'm not going to do a Twitter poll because none of their damn business. What the hell? It's none of your damn business either, pal. You're coming at me with no energy. I've always got energy. What inevitably happens, here's why you think I don't have energy, because I have energy the whole show. You guys come on, and then you and AJ get into it for 30 minutes, and I never have anything to say. And so, yeah, it sounds like I'm low energy. It's not that.
You know what I think? I think Fred got an Adderall prescription. True or false?
No Adderall, no cocaine. haven't had any alcohol yet today, but it's early. So
I love it. Bring it, baby. Bring it. By the way, I heard the Texans talk. Fezzik and Brad and me, we've got our three teams in the NFL that's been steamed up win totals. So season long, three teams down. The Texans are one of the teams amongst the six.
Yeah, tell me where you guys have them.
All right, so you want to hear all six?
Yeah, do all
might
six.
Be a good. All right, so let's start. Let's do the Texans last. So go ahead, Fez.
All right, let's start with teams that are getting steamed up that the market likes. New England steamed up from 10.5 wins to 11 wins. Big part of that, Patriots. Really easy schedule. Got the Miami Dolphins twice, etc.
Now let me ask you, Fred, high energy Fred. Is Fezzik, I've been just counting in my head. Fezzik, I think it's been 6 years, his New England preview has included the following. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tom Brady is going to start to age. He's going to regress, and New England will not be as good as they have been.
Now, this reminds me of the famous Sam Malone Cheers episode, in which in the later years, Sam was, you know, romantically interested in Rebecca Howe, some may remember. And at one point, he finally consummates the relationship, we'll say. And he pulls out an envelope from his pocket, and he says, read that. It's sealed. He cracks it open, you know, Cliff or whatever, and he reads it, and it says, I, Sam Malone, on this date, June, blah, 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 and it was the date it was, we'll sleep with Rebecca Howe. And it's like, oh, my God, how did you know? He goes, oh, I wrote one of those every morning. So Fez is going to be right someday, but let's take his concerns about Brady's age with a grain of salt. But what makes you think this year it's any different, Fez?
Well, it's already starting to happen.
Now, give us the numbers.
The numbers are QBR. Where was Brady ranked? So 3 years ago, he was ranked second in the league. 2 years ago, third in the league. Last year, sixth in the league. But what's more concerning to me, how far does he throw the ball?
So wait a minute. So you're saying the fact he's sixth instead of third is a sign of age.
Well, if we do a little...
Isn't there normal variance to this kind of thing?
I think with a 42-year-old...
And plus, by the way, when you're first, it's kind of hard to go up.
Fair, fair.
So if you're going to vary, you're going to vary another way.
First 1 year, second the next. He's trending downwards.
More concerning is how far does Brady throw the ball downfield? 2 years ago, he was 12th in the league. Last year, he was 23rd in the league.
So now, remember, I asked that question. You actually got the answer. So I actually have to agree with Fez. Michael Lombardi, friend of the show, or friend of our show, Belichick's right-hand man at various times in his career, he said when a quarterback ages, his eye level goes down, where when he's scrambling, he's not looking downfield, he doesn't want to get hit, even if he's in the pocket, he's looking not as deep. So you're saying 2 years ago, so we're saying in 2017.
Yes.
If you rank all the quarterbacks, Brady's per completion or per attempt?
They call it air yards per both completion and attempt.
Oh, air yards.
Yeah, it's a next generation stat, nextgeneration.com.
So did you actually, you know what I'm guessing? Now, I have no idea. Here's a prediction. I'm guessing that Fez looked up the norm. You would think yards per attempt would be the stat. In fact, when he was asked about 6-8 weeks ago, Fezzik was asked, what are some of your favorite advanced metrics in the NFL for quarterbacking? And one of them advanced was yards per attempt. Now, did you check Brady's yards per attempt?
I did not.
Okay. I would have made a major bet he did, and it didn't back up the story. Then he went to some other crazy stat. But that is interesting, right, Fred? Is the number of yards that the ball travels in the air, Brady was number 12 in 2017, and now in 2000, and then the next year was number 21?
23.
So when a quarterback starts to show age, that makes sense. Any thoughts on the Pats, Fred?
Well, before we get to that, I just want to mention that sometimes, and I know you were joking about looking at yards per attempt, but one of the most important mistakes that we can make is to just pick out the stats that fit what we're already trying to think. And I think that's not that that's what's happening here. I'm just telling people, you know, don't ignore those other stats.
You are so correct. And there's actually, if you are doing trends, you got to be careful about backfitting, as in, okay, we're going to begin in 2004 because in 2003 it was a bat against, you know, the theory. And oh, by the way, forget Monday night games. Yeah. Why? Oh, because they're 1-4. Well, why though? Right? There has to be a rationale.
Yeah, but Patriots go, I think I'm with Fez this year. I think that at some point he has to slow down significantly. When you get to a certain age, usually the drop off is big. Now I know he's a different kind of cat, but if he does drop off, then I just don't see them being a Super Bowl team. So
I don't know if you know this, Father Time is undefeated. All right, number two,
Fez. Number two, the Eagles fly, Eagles fly. They've been bet up from 9.5 wins to 10 wins. I got to tell you, I agree strongly with this move. Big part of it, injuries. Eagles were the second most injured game team in the NFL last year. And not only that, but their quarterback missed 5 games in Wentz, and that secondary cluster injuries just hammered the secondary. I like this move. I like the Eagles.
And remember, guys, stats that are predictive of the future. So, for example, if you said you can take the number one QBR guy last year and I'll take number 30, I don't even have to look who's number one in 30 or 30. I'm going to bet because I think QBR one season is predictive of the next. Not 100%. There's variance, but pretty predictive. Injuries, all the analysis shows that are very not predictive. There might be a little bit where the training staff, the way that they prepare in the offseason, there could be some teams a little more prone, but in general, injuries are just luck. If a team is really injured one year, especially if it's not a big name, right? If the quarterback's out, everyone remembers that. If you have cluster injuries at left tackle, they don't. And thus the performance the prior year suffers in a way that is likely not repeatable the next year, thus value paid or Eagles over because he had so many injuries and it was just bad luck. And they shouldn't have bad luck again, though they could, but if they're being graded from last year's numbers. Okay, third team, there's a lot of optimism for.
Yeah, Cleveland Browns. Talk about the strangest line move you ever see, RJ, in terms of why is Cleveland such a public team? But they are. Everyone loves Baker Mayfield. They love Odell Beckham. Cleveland's up from 8.5 to 9 wins.
Yeah, and obviously the horse is out of the barn on that one. I think, if anything, I'm looking to fade the Browns in certain spots. By the way, Brad, he went into the numbers. We've got Brady's yards per attempt last 3 years.
Yeah, so 2016, Brady, 8.2 yards per attempt. That was second best in the entire NFL. 2017 Fez dropped off 7.9, which was number 5, though, still in the NFL. Last year, another drop, 7.6, which was 13th in the NFL yards per
attempt. So literally in two seasons, gone from the second most yards per attempt, Brady, to the 13th. That's a sign of aging. No doubt, Fez. You might be right one of these days. Okay.
1-6.
What's your thoughts on the Browns, Fred?
I think the Browns are going to be one of the most overplayed teams of the year. And I'm going to be looking to fade them most of the season. I just think that there's way too much hype for a first-year coach who we really don't know much about, and a quarterback that we need to see how the league adjusts to him and how he adjusts to the league. So I am not buying Brown stock at all. But I will tell you, Fezzik, one of the young lady who's doing the show with me today is a huge Eagles fan. I have not seen her that excited after hearing what you had to say since she was watching porn on the break. So.
Hey now, I'll tell you this, if Fez, any female that Fez excites him, so thank you.
I'm fading the Browns, so.
Agreed. Fred, will you let me host the show, please?
Yeah, sure, go right ahead.
I mean, jeez.
You're fine. I'm sorry, I'm just going to go back to having no energy.
All right, so let's ask Fred a question. Amongst the three teams over, so that's Patriots, that's Eagles, that's Browns, meaning they've been bet optimistically over their win total, which one would you bet, if you had to make a bet right now at the current numbers, which one would you bet?
I would take the Eagles, because I do agree with Fezzik on the Patriots. I think the Browns are way overvalued, and of the three, I would feel the best about the Eagles.
Now, we have three teams bet down. For those who did well on their SATs, you probably know where Houston is by process of elimination. Let's start there, Fez.
So let's start with Houston. They've been bet down from 8.5 to 8, and this is all about schedule. It's not so much that the bettors are pessimistic about Houston, but Houston goes from a very easy schedule to the most difficult schedule in the NFL, thus the move.
And we talked about this on our show. By the way, you can listen to our show on podcast form. Right, don't have to compete against Fred, right? The dedicated Fred listeners. I listen. I stream it sometimes. Can you believe that? I mean, it's crazy, but I do because it's true. And I'll tell you this. You guys know the Texans like nobody's business, and they're not homers, right? And in any city, if you're not a homer on local radio, you get heat. These guys would rather be right than be loved. Well, luckily they're not loved, so hey, you can be right. Right? That's what's left. But the fact is, we talked about it. How, and you can get that on podcast, just search RJ Bell. How do you assess strength of schedule?
So I look at how good your opponents are going to be this year. I don't care how they did last year.
And how do you assess that?
So I look at their season win number for this coming year.
You're using Vegas against Vegas.
Exactly. I'm using Vegas to set my strength of schedule based upon their season win numbers for this coming year.
Okay, so guys, what do you think of the test? And what's the win total? Let's be specific.
It's currently at 8.
8. So will they be better than 500?
Well, I the thing you heard us coming back with, I think all of the things that have to go right for them to be like an 11-win team, it's almost impossible. And yes, the schedule is going to be more difficult. I think the AFC South is better. I still think the Colts are a better team than they are going into the season. And if Nick Foles can improve the Jaguars, they may be a better team than the Texans are. I just don't think they're very well coached. And yeah, the one difference is all those teams basically have the same schedule this year. It's like, yeah, the Texans have the first place schedule, but that's two games. So they all have tough schedules. I think it might be a 9-7 wins the division year. But I would lean under because I think there's more possibilities for things to go wrong with this team than for things to go right. And that's because I always put a win range on teams, and I think theirs is a very high variance range. I think it's 6-11. And with that being the case, I think more could go wrong. I would take the under.
Here's my question, though, or actually more of a point. And this is a pro tip. I think Houston is better in week one than they are in season-long bets, meaning with Watson's history of injuries. Now, we can say, is it sample size? Is it just fluky or not? But his history of injuries makes it where the chance of him going down at some point without a great O-line is so much higher than, let's say, an average quarterback. And if your quarterback goes down, it's hard to be optimistic about a team, even if you got a good backup. Even if you don't, it doesn't really matter. Nick Foles being the one exception we've seen, I guess, Hostetler way back when, right?
Yeah.
But that's a rare thing. Would you guys agree if I said I was going to bet $10,000 on the Texans and the choice is week one, forgetting who they play? Let's say I haven't even looked at the schedule yet. I'm not going to handicap that game. I just think the power ranking or rating of the Texans in week one will be higher than their average power rating throughout the season. Does that sound right to you, Fred?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I actually like them week one because they play at New Orleans, and the Saints don't exactly get off to the fastest start every year in the first game. So that's a game where I think they could go in and certainly cover. But yeah, I think week one, I'd feel better about them than I would week 10.
Yeah, Texans catching 7 in that game, and that's been bet down. The wise guys are on Houston that week one. RJ, would I agree with you on that with the injuries? Not just quarterback, but also look at J.J. Watt. Is he going to make it through the year? And their number two wide receiver, Fuller. Wow, has he had a lot of injuries in his career.
And remember, guys, and to all the listeners, the discipline to think, am I thinking about, if someone says, what do you think of the Texans? You're going to get that kind of answer, right? You're going to get a simple answer. Betting is complicated. Doesn't mean you have to bet. Doesn't mean even if you do bet that you have to be this complex with it. But open your mind to it. The question is, some teams are going to be better, like the Patriots. I would make a major bet. Their power rating is better after entering week 17 than it will be entering the season. Would you agree with that, Fez?
I would if I wasn't so concerned about Tom Brady falling off the cliff this year.
Oh, this is the year. Okay.
Sick and tired of hearing that.
Hey, he's consistent, man.
Oh, yes, he is. He tends to stay on script. That's when things are best. If you want potential, you know, SEC or FEC, what's it called? The
FCC.
FCC violations.
Yep. The FCC won't let Fez be.
Actually, they did a mandate. They said you cannot have two wines or more white wine spritzers and come on air. I mean, Fred, have you ever had that before where they've actually, like, a breathalyzer before going on the mic?
No, especially since that's kind of part of our bit here, is that we have sponsors who bring us alcohol during the show many times.
So. That'd be funny, though, having, like, to start a car, you have to do a breathalyzer. All right, Fez, real quick now, I think we got time. Two more teams, rapid fire.
Yeah, Chicago Bears. The bettors are betting against the Bears. Season win number is down to 9. It's all about how fortunate the Bears were last year in many categories, including schedule. The Bears had the easiest schedule last year. Think about that division and how down compared to expectation Green Bay, Detroit was. And because of that, a lot of money on the Bears to go under.
What do you think of that, Freddie?
I like this Bears team, but I can't fault the thinking there. I think Minnesota's going to be better this year, too, so I can understand it. I like them. I think they're going to be pretty good, but I see why it's going that direction.
Let me ask you a question. Are you on the same mic you usually are?
Yeah.
And it's the same mix? You don't have, like, a new processor on it?
No, nothing new.
You sound great, dude. Well, I mean, seriously, I'm listening to you thinking this doesn't sound like Fred.
Well, you know what? The last few times we've done this, we've been on location, including last week in Vegas, so that might have something to do with it.
But we've been doing this hit, like, for 5 years.
I know. And you might not remember this, but we actually did a national show together for about a year.
I remember that. And I'm saying you sound like you got new equipment or something. I don't know if you're noticing this is a compliment.
No, so, okay. I'll take it. But no, there's nothing new.
Last team, Fez.
Tennessee Titans' current number is 8. They bet it down from 8.5. And part of this is the schedule. The whole division is a tough schedule. But I feel another major factor, lack of confidence in quarterbacking. Marcus Mariota, can he stay healthy? And frankly, even if he is moderately healthy, can he be an effective quarterback?
Now, here's my question, Fred, is I think Tannehill is a great backup. Because what's the concern? Is he durable? Well, backup quarterbacks don't need to be, right? Spot starts. I like Vrabels. I like the Titans. I actually am against that move. What do you think, Freddie?
I'm kind of anti-Vrabel, and maybe it's just because
the
1 year I saw him as defensive coordinator here where he was just absolutely awful. He didn't make adjustments, and then that gets you a head coaching job. And I know he's got a great reputation, but I like to see guys actually perform in their jobs as a coordinator before they move on to a head coaching job. So I'm not sold on Mike Vrabel yet. That's my biggest concern about him.
Refresh my memory. He went from Houston to where?
To Tennessee.
Okay, so that was the job before. So
yeah,
he was at New England. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was
so
at Houston. He was linebacker's coach, and then they made him defensive coordinator and kind of kicked Romeo Crennel upstairs so he could have a year as defensive coordinator. He was terrible. They had one of the worst defenses in football, and then he went from that to a head coaching job. So, I'm skeptical.
Yeah. That's interesting. And that's where the Belichick thing is. There's just such love of Belichick. If you don't mind, one last thing. This will be, because Brad has a real take on this Lincoln. Have you guys talked about Lincoln Riley?
Not much today, no, but it'd be perfect to hear Brad.
Mike, you set it up real quick, Brad.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was asked of Lincoln Riley, hey, is there any teams in the Big 12 that are giving you sleepless nights? And Lincoln Riley's response, well, I could give you the politically correct answer, I could just tell you the truth. The truth is, none of the teams in the Big 12 are giving me sleepless nights.
Makes sense, man. That guy, talk about a guy down in Lubbock. I don't know if you know the story of, you know, when he was under... he was at, 23-24?
Under Leach, yep. Yeah.
Under Leach. And, you know, I actually have a couple of friends that's been on Leach's staff for probably a combined 20 years. So, I mean, I got some insight into that, you know, him. Very, you know, intelligent, but also kind of dismissive of others. And this, right when this, you know, Lincoln Riley was 22-23, it was like, wow, this kid's different. Obviously, he's turned out that way. Speaking of different... Fezzik, it was such a good performance. If you want to follow him on Twitter and hear his musings, some of them might make you very angry. It's at Fezzik Sports, F-E-Z-Z-I-K. That's at Fezzik Sports.
Yeah, follow all three of these guys, by the way. Brad Power 7 and at RJ in Vegas. If you're not following them, then I don't know what you're doing. I think I accidentally...
His Twitter handle is at RJ in Vegas.
I'm pretty sure I accidentally followed the wrong Fezzik. Because they're, I guess.
Oh, you know, that happens. That happens. Yeah. He's so famous, people want to be him. I mean, I don't know if you search Fezzik on Grindr, you're going to be very surprised.
I'll do that next time I'm in Vegas.
guys. You know, Fezzik's looking. Do you know what Grindr is, Fez?
Well, I think about a poker player grinding out a living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're gonna have.
You might want to look it up.
Yeah, you're gonna have to explain that one to him. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Fun stuff as always. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, RJ Bell, Brett Power, Steve Fezzik. Fun, fun, fun. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hey, guess what? Giveaway time. 6:45 is the time to call in. And Holly will let you pick the caller number.
Ooh, yay. Right now? Pick a number?
Pick a number.
We're going with 5.
Okay, caller 5 at 6:45. Gets to make out with Holly at the listener party.
Oh, gross. Come on now. Right. Come on. You can buy me a drink.
That's what the copy says, though, right, Fred?
No, it says it's that time of year again where we want to thank you, our loyal listeners, at our 2019 Listener Appreciation Party. Join the broadcast, editorial, and management team of ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map for an evening of food from Big City Wings. You know I love that. Drinks provided by Coors Light at the home of Gal Media, Thursday, August 15th at 6:30 p.m., so caller 5 at 6:45. Don't call before then. 713-780-3776. You're going to win a pair of tickets. Thanks to Texas Citizens Bank. To meet all of our ESPN 97.5 on-air personalities, you'll get behind-the-scenes look at where and how your favorite shows and videos are made. Texas Citizens Bank, service you can bank on. Visit TexasCitizensBank.com today. The only way to get an invite is to listen and win, so make sure you keep listening all week. You must be 21 plus to attend, invitation only. And yes, you will get a chance to meet Holly and Jermaine. I mean, nobody wants to meet me, but they'll want to meet you guys. So I know you guys wanted to dive into something that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet.
Yeah, so there is an article here that says which team in the NFL have the best odds to finish with the worst records. So I found this one really fun, Jermaine. They have Miami at number one, which is obviously a given.
Mm-hmm. I would think so. Like, to me, it's funny because the Dolphins are a 5-1 favorite to finish with the worst record. The Cardinals are a 6-1 favorite to finish with the worst record. I think Miami should be a lot, that margin should be a lot greater between Miami and Arizona, between Miami and everybody else, really. The best value I found on this page, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
I think the Bengals and the Redskins are the best values. The Redskins are 11-1, the Bengals are 12-1.
I'm with you on the Redskins one. Do you feel like, okay, so did this come out? Do you know if this came out? Let's see. Did the Giants, did they factor in what just happened today? Like, 'cause I know they lost some injuries.
It came out yesterday. So I'm wondering if it, I don't think the Sterling Shepard injury is going to be that big of a factor into it.
No, he'll be back. That was just a finger. But
the Corey Coleman injury, that's kind of big. It's kind of big. I mean, that's one of the guys that they were counting on to help replace Odell Beckham, not just totally replace him, but help fill in for the loss of Odell Beckham Jr. But the reason why I feel like there should be a wider gap between the Dolphins and the Cardinals, the Kyler Murray X factor, number one, for the Cardinals. Number two, the Miami Dolphins are clearly, quote-unquote, tanking for Tua, or whatever they want to call it. The Raiders have Antonio Brown. They have Chucky. They have some talent there. That team can be sneaky good. They had a really good draft. The Redskins are counting on a rookie quarterback who's not mobile, who have a disgruntled left tackle that they may end up trading. So that's and they're playing in a somewhat tough division because the New York Giants with Saquon Barkley, anything could end up happening with that team. However, the recent wide receiver news kind of keeps them down, but the Bengals play in a pretty tough division. So I could see them like having a terrible time in their division and with the rest of their opponents as well because that team just sucks.
And it's just the Bengals. Like, they'll get your hope up for like one or two games, and then they're always going to go back to the Bengals.
Exactly.
And they will always let you down. They're never going to be anything.
They're also going at it with a new coach too. First time in, 15, 16 years that they haven't had Marvin Lewis roaming the sidelines. So Andy Dalton is really on his way out of the door. AJ Green is one of the best wide receivers in the league, but he's been injury prone the last few years, and I believe he's 30 or 31 years old. They don't have a consistent enough running game. The defense isn't that great. And like I said, they're in a tough division with the up-and-coming Browns team. The Steelers still have Big Ben. And the Ravens, you know, with Lamar Jackson, anything is possible. And they keep trying to make improvements on that defense. Signing Earl Thomas, drafting Jalen Edwards. There's a lot of tough competition in that division.
Oh, that division is definitely – I really, really like the Ravens, too, out of that. So anybody in their division – yeah, but I'm really, really concerned about the Cardinals here. Like, there's so much going on. I know, like you said, Miami is the obvious one. Everybody knows they're tanking and they're trash. But the Cardinals, like, there's so much going back and forth. They have Peterson suspended, too. I'm not a fan of a new coach, especially with the record that he came from. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you've got a young quarter, a rookie quarterback who some people are going to beg to differ, and they're going to argue with me. I still feel like the size is a major concern with me, with Murray. You have no O-line to protect you. And I don't think that people – yes, he was very, very good in college. And I hope that I'm wrong. But also your size. Like, are you, how accurate are you going to be with these bigger guys in the NFL? That really concerns me a lot. So
one of the things that – and we talked about this on one of the breaks. And it was weird that we got into it now. But Kyler Murray is the ultimate boom or bust pick in this draft.
I feel the exact same way, yeah.
He could end up getting, you know, serious contention for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And he could be a flaming disaster and be out of the league in 3, maybe 4 years, depending on when they decide to cut bait. So it's one of those things where he could be really boom or bust. I don't see a real middle road for him at all. One thing that could help turn their season around is if David Johnson can do something with the run game and catching the ball out of the backfield, if Kyler Murray can get the ball off. One thing they may want to look into when building that offensive line, just as a Saints fan and intimate knowledge of what the Saints like to do, they like to keep Drew Brees clean in that pocket. So what they look for is good center and guard play to keep the middle of that pocket clean so he can step up into that pocket. So one thing that the Cardinals may want to do is trying to build that line from inside out. That way it keeps the pocket clean for him. But who knows, because he's a different type of quarterback than Drew Brees. He's a lot more athletic,
yeah.
Can escape the pocket. So it's really going to be hit or miss as to what the Cardinals can do.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that his athleticism helps him out there. That's really all he's got to go for him, because he doesn't have anything to help him. So
yeah, and Larry Fitzgerald is really on his last legs as a wide receiver. He's getting slower, not as agile. He can't get out of his breaks as good. He's relying more on his physicality and body positioning in order to make plays and make catches. Hopefully, he could kind of rub off some osmosis on Hakeem Butler, who was one of the guys we talked about in the earlier segment. Mm-hmm. But it's all going to depend on how that line protects Murray and how that line blocks for David Johnson as to whether or not that offense can be productive.
I think the Cardinals were the best bet on this board. The bust potential for this is through the roof, and not just because of Kyler Murray, but because of Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, that's true. So hard on Redskins and Cardinals. Yep.
Yeah, so
it's a disaster over there.
We're going to take a quick break. Aspen Rain on the Twitch says, Holly, if you're in danger sitting between these two, give us a sign and we can send in a rescue team. You better hurry because we only have one segment left. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with C-Force Water. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Day one of no A.J. I think we managed to survive. Pretty good job by Jermaine and Holly. I'm so sad for you guys that life is so hard as hot people.
I was just about to say, it's been really hard sitting here being so hot this entire
rough,
time.
It's rough, dude. Yeah. It's so rough. You have no idea how tough it is.
No, I have no idea, because I just sit here and be mediocre. And you know what? Yeah, it works better for me. All right, let's wrap the show up the way we do every Friday with a little stupid stuff we said this week.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we said this week.
This is the new formula. Okay, Radio fine. 101. Wake up, Fred.
I'm trying here. All right. I'm Fred Fowler from AJ and Fowler. And I've been in radio for 10 years, and I've been covering football since I was in the 8th grade. And I'm just curious, Mr. Hoffman, what your thoughts are on the state of Houston radio.
Well, man, I'm here to tell you, Fred, I am so turned up right now. Buckle your damn seatbelts, boys, because it's about to get lit out here. We are firing off fireworks. It's so lit. And, man, it's going to be so turnt up here, man. We're about to wild out. At best, she's a C-level person.
Yeah.
But I'd say, I mean, the way she handled it, maybe she's a B-minus.
Bitch minus works for me. I think we're missing the whole thing here. He's talking about underwater.
Underwater?
He's talking about a submarine. That's what a sub program is.
A yellow submarine?
It is.
I feel like you want half of the responsibility of being the boss. You don't want to listen to the bitching and the moaning.
I do listen to the bitching and moaning. That's half my job, is listening to bitching and moaning.
That's what I'm saying, but you get mad about it.
I mean, do you like every part of your job? Like the part where you got to work with Joel and Nick? You don't like that.
I do. The only part I don't like about my job is dealing with my boss.
If you could just offer me an ESPN station that only did that, I'd take that. For sure.
Well, I think I've said this.
You put a bunch of robots in those chairs for all I care.
Be careful.
Put a bunch of Rick Kamlas in there. Rick Kamla and a robot. What do you think about this, robot? Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
I believe Jadeveon Clowney should sign long-term with the Houston Texans.
You can only find insight like that here on SportsCenter. We'll be right back. I'm going to ask him more questions about robots, lubrication, and the like. Turn up, Houston. On his Twitter page... He's got all his nicknames, a.k.a. One Take Rick, Ricky Buckets, Ricky Pipes, Kamla Juice.
What? Isn't that what happens when you masturbate a camel and you get Kamla Juice? Bro, I'm officially going to be Berry Juice.
You know what goes really good with
Kamla? I'm officially Berry Juice now.
You know what goes really good with Kamla Juice? Some good old Arkansas milk. That's what goes good with it, man.
And me wearing a headband?
Yes, you look like Pocahontas.
Thank you. I think Pocahontas is very attractive. You can
look like ugly Pocahontas then.
Okay, that's cool. I'll take that because an ugly Pocahontas is still like a 5.
I don't know why he's not doing a radio show in Arkansas. The milk's so damn good. Send him back. Send him back. Send him back. Right?
It seems fair to me.
Yeah.
Stupid stuff. We've said this week.
Fun week. All right, that's going to wrap it up. What do we got next? Patrick Creighton? Is that Juggy Trey going to be working the board?
Nice.
Juggy T.
All right.
Trey.
I'm going to go with Aaron. Give you an A-plus today. Jermaine, A-plus. Holly, A-plus.
Thank you.
That was okay today. I'll give myself a C-minus. I hope everybody has an awesome weekend. Really appreciate you guys filling in. Fun times as always. And we'll do it again sometime. Everybody have a great one. Till Monday, stay sportsy, bitches.
I wish I could have been a Coleman kid. As I grew up in Texas playing football, I had to drink any old average milk. I was somehow able to quarterback the Arkansas Razorbacks. But with Coleman milk, I figured I'd be 4 inches taller and I might still be in the NFL.
Coleman Dairy. Since 1862, serving your family is not just a job to us, it's our heritage.
I'm making up for lost time because I'm a Coleman kid today.